From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams with you. I'm with four of my friends. I really am so blessed that they can be here. Diego and Genevieve Ruiz and Mike and Renee Williams. Welcome.
Thank you. No relation.
Hey, I need to say right off the bat here, this is kind of a continuation of a series that we've done. You guys have an amazing kinship / connect group now, I guess is what we call them. But you guys have been together over 30 years. Let me just mention the Ruiz family, the Williams family, the Andazolas, the Paulsons, the Burns, the Starks, and the McKees have been part of the same kinship group for over 30 years. You guys have truly lived life together, which I think is amazing. Now, I want to tell our listeners, this is going to be an emotional show. And I want everybody not to apologize because it should be emotional. It will be an expression of love, remembering Angelo Ruiz, who moved to heaven February 27th and 21. And we're also going to be talking about how these friends in Jesus have supported one another and trusted God through not only the loss of Angelo, but other challenges that have gone on. So let's jump into it. Diego and Genevieve, please tell us about your relationship, how you met. Was that a fun thing?
It was.
Well, I got a funny story.
Very Cuban.
So we had a mutual friend that played in a band, and we both went there not knowing each other. And he just happened to be playing salsa music. And me being Cuban, my blood was just like...
You were ready shaking. To move.
I was, and I danced with her literally the whole night. She was supposed to be there with the friend. The next week, you know, I found out that she was a hair artist, and so I had some lame pickup line that I went over and I said, you know, needed to buy a hairbrush, you know, from the salon. And while I was there, she said, hey, will you be a model for me? And my chest just swelled, and I was just like, with a low voice, I said, of course. And then she proceeded to say, yeah, I need someone with problem hair to cut. And so my chest deflated. But so that was, you know, just kind of a short little funny story.
Yeah. And the rest is history.
Jen, when did you know this cowlicks. Was the one?
I think that night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was like, wow. Yeah.
So it went from problem hair to I kind of like this guy.
Right away. Yeah.
Did you know that was a lame pickup line?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
But he took a shot, right?
He did. He went for it, and I appreciated that.
So you have to admire that.
Yeah,
so
I did.
So I got to ask Mike and Renee really the same question, but in a different way. I want to know, Renee, what was Mike's first thing he said to you? What was his pickup line?
I want to talk to your brother about doing radio.
Oh, yeah. But that's not really when we first met. But that was the start of our relationship, I guess. My brother was involved with Christian radio here and then moved out to Tucson. Mm-hmm. And he was coming into town.
And by the way, many of our listeners know Doug Martin, so we absolutely need to mention Doug Martin.
There we go.
Absolutely. And Peter Martin, and his son, has been an amazing guest. Mm-hmm. He's a pastor out near Tucson, and I just love listening to Peter Martin.
He's a great teacher.
You have good genes, Renee.
I'm telling you. Not too bad.
And a good radio voice.
Anyway, so I invited him over when Doug and Mary were coming to town, and had dinner with our family. And then we found out that my sister-in-law's little brother was getting married that evening. And it turns out he went to high school with him. And he said, oh, I'll go to Fergie's wedding with you. And we came home from the wedding, and here was his line, do you want to go to the movies? And we did. And when he brought me back, I was living with my mom at the time and my stepdad. And he said, I think we should pray before you get out of the car. And so we prayed together, and it was like a light bulb went off in my head. It was like, this is the man you're going to marry. And 9 months later, we got married.
I don't remember the movie.
I don't either.
At all. I had no idea what it was that we saw. And I was pretty enraptured with her most of the time. So Yeah, it was cool. The Lord was very awesome in putting that connection together. So
tell me how your group came together. You know, who invited who to whose house? And
well, I'm going to pick it up from there, so I can tell you that part of it.
Well, you know what's funny about this question I asked the McKees and the Paulsons this? Yeah. And it was funny that the McKees, Steve tells me, well, I have to confess that we are not gifted with hospitality. So that's why we try to do everything at the Paulsons' house as many times as we can, because they're apparently gifted with hospitality and want people in their home. But the McKees were shy about that. They didn't. You know, they have a nice home and all that, but they didn't feel they did as good a job, I guess, of entertaining or welcoming people. So tell us about how you guys got together.
So the McKees got married about a week, two weeks before we got married in September. And so they moved into an apartment complex across the street. And then after Renee and I got married, we moved into the apartment complex that was right across the street from them. And then, so we were talking one night and said, gosh, you know, we ought to get together and try to, you know, talk about the things that are going on in our marriages, the challenges we're having and the things we're having to deal with on the day-to-day being.
And this is really from married very early marriage.
Yeah.
We got married in September and I think.
We were in premarital classes. Yeah,
yes, we were with these guys. Yeah.
And it was a snowy night. And for some reason we were walking around outside with the McKees because it was a snowy night and there was no traffic. And then we talked about having a kinship and you guys got married in December. Mm-hmm. So we met like one or two times. You guys got married and came along and then Lisa and Danny came back and anyway.
And so it just grew from there.
Yeah. And we kind of knew each other too from playing volleyball. We looked forward to playing volleyball after service every Sunday.
Ah.
We would just be getting together, play and stuff. And so that's how our friendship started developing.
Yeah. That's and how then, we knew the McKees and the Starks came. We didn't really know the Starks, but they joined us right after we started.
Yeah.
But,
and the Starks have been on the road for a long time. They've been missionaries. We've had Kevin and Laura on the air a little bit. And I mentioned the Burns. They now live in Australia where their son started a Calvary church down there. Well, Calvary style church, I guess, which is it's called Tribes. And we've had Cody on the air, Pastor Cody. So amazing fruit from everything that's going on. Now, this is where we're going to start getting a little emotional. I want you guys to talk about your kids a little bit. Mm-hmm. Talk about your children, Diego and Jen.
We have three. Anja, of course, is in heaven with the Lord now. We have Diego Leniev, who is 33. He lives in Denver right now. He is a musician / breath worker and
breath coach
and
DJ Natalia, music producer.
Yeah, Natalia is still in her professional ballerina stage, and she owns her own business as an esthetician. So they're both doing really well.
And where does Natalia live?
Married to Vincent Harrison.
Natalia and Vincent Harrison live here.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I, by the way, obviously, if anybody's ever seen Christmas Joy, it's an absolutely amazing presentation of.
She's been part of that all her life.
Yeah, and I've seen her dance many times, and it's just amazing. Yeah. So, so grateful about that. How about the Williams kids?
Well, I guess that was probably one of our first challenges, really, because our group all started having children. And we were trying and trying and trying, and it wasn't working for us. And so God opened doors, and both of our children are adopted.
So, but Renee, were you, obviously you wanted to have kids. You felt God called you to have a family. Were you mad at God about that?
No.
No?
No.
So you kind of were trusting him the whole time?
Well, yeah, I figured there was a plan of some sort. He had found me and figured all that out for me. But it was hard watching all of our friends get pregnant and have kids. And, you know, so there is a certain amount of that, you know, okay, when's it going to happen for us? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And tell us about your kids, what they're doing.
Go ahead.
Okay, great. So Matthew, our son, Matt, is now 33 years old. And, he's doing great. Him and his wife, Marissa, just got married. So more Williamses are carrying on the lineage. They just had a little, we have our first grandchild.
Hey!
Olivia Hope. and we're excited.
That makes
about
you 6 years older than you actually are.
Yeah.
I'm teasing.
But what a blessing that is to, you know, seeing some of the fruit coming out of that and how God arranged all that.
Yeah.
Through time. And also, no, it's been a blessing. And I'll let you talk about Michaela.
Our daughter actually works in Nashville. No, she doesn't. She works in Las Vegas. She started in Nashville, and now she's in Las Vegas and works for the Old Red. She is
Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton's Old Red. She sells his merchandise in this little tiny store, as you know, that's part of the business, and it generates quite an income. It's amazing. People want t-shirts and hats and all those kinds of things.
Yeah. Tell me how your children used to interact. You guys would have a meeting.
Gosh,
was it every
so
week?
Much fun. It was just, they looked forward to kinship every weekend or every Friday or whatever the day it was. They couldn't get enough of each other. They had a really, really good time together. And when we would meet at each other's homes, we would put our children down to bed at a certain time after story time and playtime, whatever. And they would all be in a different room, but there was always a lot of sneaking going on while we were trying to have kinship downstairs, because they would try to sneak into each other's room because they wanted more playtime and they wanted to hang out more. So, but it was usually the Paulsons and the Ruises that did most of that. But they loved each other. They really did.
Was there any handcuffs involved or locking doors? I
mean, I'm trying to think. Probably.
Spankings, but.
Lots of spankings and, well, you know, but they would make fun of us because we spoke Spanish to our kids from the time they were born to school. And so they would make fun of us and say, blah, 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 spanking. And, you know, we'd blitter all this stuff in Spanish and then there'd be an English word. And we got teased about that all the time by kinship and the kids.
Yeah. Has that paid off for the kids to be bilingual?
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I have three of my kids that are, they're not fluent, but they're pretty good. They had 5 years of Spanish at Hope Christian School. Yeah. Two of them are kind of like their dad. Not a long enough attention span to pay attention. So unfortunately, that gene pool is not perfect. But I love all five of mine. And you guys were gracious enough to show me some neat pictures where our kids were all together at Young Life Camp, a family camp. And that was really an extra special thing.
Well, and you coached our son.
Oh, I know. And I loved that whole thing. And by the way, I did misbehave a lot in those days. I used to yell at basketball officials. And people don't know this, but Skip had talked to me about, I was the business manager here in the early 80s and helped kind of acquire the building, did the initial remodeling and did all these different things or coordinated that. But I knew that I wasn't pastor material because I was still yelling at basketball officials. And I'm here to at least tell you that in the last 7 years, I haven't yelled at a basketball official.
That's amazing. Well, we appreciated that you taught our son to play basketball.
Hey, and Matthew did really well. I mean, he had,
our kids were, well, other than your son.
Well, Michaela was like a superstar soccer player.
She was pretty good, but
yeah.
But Jimmy was so tall.
Yeah.
But the rest of the team, they were very short. But you taught them to play defense, and you didn't let them get away with not knowing how to do their layups or shoot their free throws. And as a result, they beat all those other kids.
Yeah,
we thought that was pretty great.
We did have a lot of fun with all of that. We're going to take a next step in our interview. I mentioned to you at the onset that this is going to be a little bit emotional, and we do want to talk about how the group supported the Ruiz family, how you're all missing Angelo, and we really want to honor him. And not only his memory, but there's a lot of things that about his life and things that he's written and things that he did in a video. I've seen the video about, his talking about being freed from pornography and other things to minister to other young men. And so there's some important things that this young man's legacy leaves for all of us that point toward Jesus and point all of us to that. So in our next segment, we're going to talk about that. So I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. I want to tell you a story that is sad, but it's also amazing to think about that we're going to be able to see our loved ones in heaven. And I know you guys are expecting that. As I mentioned, it's going to be emotional because Angelo Ruiz moved to heaven February 27th in 2021. The circumstances of his passing were very strange. I didn't know him except as a young child, but this was a young man that I gather from you, Diego, like you. He loved beauty. And he's in Hawaii, and he's just having this amazing hike, and they're on top of a waterfall looking out over the ocean, and something tragic happens. Describe that whole situation for us, will you?
Yeah, well, he was with his company, and he was asked to speak, you know, that week to over 4,000 colleagues because he was one of the top in his business. Mm-hmm. And
so this was a company trip to the island.
Yeah, this was a conference, a one-week conference. They stayed one extra day, and they were there at the Road to Hana, right there by what is it, the Paradise or
the Garden of Eden? Yeah,
In Maui.
In Maui. Yes. And they stayed one extra day. They were at the bottom of this waterfall right before the last one. And it had been drizzling all day. And so just at that time, they were there, him and his best friend and mentor. And it was like a flash flood that came over that and that last waterfall and then just ejected him out into the ocean.
And it took him into the sea.
Yes.
So I don't know how to ask the question, and I apologize if I'm being insensitive, but you were called by the authorities and told what was happened?
Yeah, they actually found him 22 hours later the next day, half a mile down in the ocean, shark-infested waters. The bottom of the waterfall was all rock, but yet this is what's so awesome about the Lord being right there with us through this tragedy. There were so many little miracles that it was undeniable that this wasn't an accident, and that we couldn't be mad at God, because Angelo was a treasure on loan from God. Mm-hmm. And we need to see it that way. And if he chose before the foundations of the earth that day that he wanted to take him back with him, to have fellowship with him, mm-hmm. how could we be mad at God for that? Mm. And so we had to have an eternal perspective. I know I had to have an eternal perspective in order to see that from God and not be mad at him, because it's so easy to take that perspective and be bitter versus looking at all the circumstances and God's glory. And I had to ask myself, do I really trust God only when things are good? Mm. Or under this tragedy, is he still faithful? Is he still trustworthy? Is he still gracious and loving and kind? And by having that eternal perspective, it gave me that peace and knowing that this is when the Lord wanted to take him back to him.
Yeah.
So.
And it truly is a wrestling match and a struggle when it happens. Think about the day that we got the call from Layla, who was Sebastian's wife. Sebastian was the guy on the hike with Angelo. And I think about that phone call that she called us that morning. We were getting ready for church, and she told us that they had gone missing. And I immediately ran upstairs into my closet, opened my Bible, and just prayed fervently, you know, just pleading to the Lord that they would find him. And then a few hours later, I didn't leave that room. I literally stayed there and when the call came a couple hours later that they had found his body, I literally threw my Bible. Mm. I threw it and ran out of the room screaming, just so angry, because you know, you think you can control things, even through prayer, but in reality, you just can't. Mm-hmm. The Lord is truly in charge of everything in our lives. And I've struggled with all of it, but the Lord has every single time brought me back to the basics of who He is. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful for that, because I remember hearing Levi Lusco talking at one point, saying that we have two choices when tragedy hits. We can either run from the Lord or we can run to Him. And so I chose in that moment to run full force towards the Lord, and He gave me everything that I needed every step of the way. All the questions, all the anger, all the frustrations, just not understanding, and just being, you know, you see other people's lives, and I hate to say this, but you think, why them? You know, why do they get to keep their son, and why do I have? It's a terrible thought, but those are thoughts that really do come through your head, and you just can't make sense of it. But the Lord really, truly did give me and both of us everything we needed every step of the way, through every question and every frustration.
So Jen, I want our listeners to understand that you had some anger, you had some frustration, you were scared. I mean, you didn't know what to do, and yet you ran to the Lord. So I think there's other people dealing with some kind of tragedy. You know, it could be anything. Can you encourage people? Is there anything to say? Could anybody have said helped you?
No.
Or did you just needed them to wrap their arms around
you? Yeah, I think, you know, kinship, of course, was there. They were very much there for us in very different ways. It manifested itself very different for the men as it did for the women. The men were there with their resources and money and time, and the women were there with their heart and their ear and their words of encouragement. And I think about one instance where we had been doing a women's study, all of us women from kinship. And I text Denise and I said, I just want to just stay in my bed and rot. I can't even get out of the bed. And she said, I'm coming for you now. I don't care what you look like. You can be in your pajamas. Your hair can be messy. I don't care. I'm coming for you. You need to get out of that bed. And she did. She came for me and took me to the study. And I needed that, you know, because you need people that will kind of pull you out of that place that's so dark. And they were there for us. And they listened and they prayed and gave, and just really grateful that we have them.
I hope this is okay with you, but I want to ask the Williamses, what did they feel like when they heard about Angelo's passing?
Well, it was...
I'll just blubber over here for a little bit.
It was, like everybody says, we can't hardly believe this. This can't possibly be true. This can't possibly be what is happening right now. And so we were actually headed out on a trip that afternoon when we got the news that morning. And anyway, we went over and just hugged on them. And that's all you really can do, because there isn't anything you can say.
Yeah, and I think that that's important, though, because sometimes do we think, Jen, that we are supposed to do something for somebody else? Basically just being present.
I think people try, but sometimes it gets awkward and they say something really
stupid,
foolish, and you just, you know, and you understand, because they don't know what you're going through. But it is nice just to have the presence and not always the answers, because nobody has them.
Diego?
And I think it's important, too, that sometimes people will not say anything because they don't want to make us sad. Mm. But we actually enjoy talking about our son.
And by the way, I was worried about that, inviting you to do this. And I'm so blessed that you're doing it. Yeah. I mean, this will touch a lot of lives, you guys. I mean, this is how God ministers to people, is there are people dealing with situations. This could have happened to somebody 20 years ago. Angelo has not been gone very long. And we do want to remember him and think about him. I have I want you to smile when I ask you this question. Before I ask the question, I'm going to read this scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For we see now dimly, but then face to face. For I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known." Many Christians believe this is contrasting what we know now as, you know, human beings on earth. We see in a mirror dimly, but when we move to heaven, we will know God and the answers to the questions of life. So I'm thinking about Angelo being this adventurer, loving beauty. What do you think he asked God when he first saw God?
I was thinking about that because I did read that question before we got here. And I don't think he would ask anything theological. I think he had a really, really solid belief that was unwavering. Mm-hmm. And especially after reading his mm-hmm. journal, just everything that was in there just really confirmed everything. Because you don't really know where your children's hearts are. And they write a journal not expecting that anyone will ever read it, you know. But I don't think he would ask anything theological. I think Angel was very much about community and family. And as a little boy, he would, "Are we going to have family time, Mama? Are we going to have family time together?" He was just all about connecting and family and the people that were important to him. So I just thought about it. I thought, I think what he probably would ask the Lord is, "Lord, will my family be together again someday?"
I love that.
That's what I think, that he would be more concerned for us being together than for answering why does the earth revolve around the sun? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I just
sure.
don't think he would ask something like that.
Yeah. No, I think that's amazing. He was about relationships.
Yeah, very much.
And he was also about adventure.
Oh,
he lived more life in his few years than the average person, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He was ready to go.
Yeah. I think, I thought about that question, and Angelo was an old soul. Like Jen said, when he was a young little boy, we'd have family devotionals, and at the end I'd ask a question, you know, just the theological, and he'd always get it. He would come back with these questions, another question on top of that, and he was like, we'd look at each other, it's like, oh my gosh, he gets it. And it was just deep thought. And so I think that there's a couple things. I think he would ask because he was just so on fire for the Lord and would love beauty and just everything. The rocks cry out, you know, and everything, beauty just cries out, to the Lord. And I think he would ask, why is it so difficult for people to get it, to understand you and to love you and to see that you are trustworthy? So it, you know, rhetorical question, but it's like, it's so easy to see your love and beauty and caring for us. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be kind of a rhetorical question that he would ask.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I wanted to also, as you're talking, Diego, I wanted to read Romans 1:20 because I think this is applicable. It basically says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen everything God made, and they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature." So they have no excuse for not knowing God.
That was Angela.
I mean, I think that's what you just said.
Yeah.
I have that same, for example, don't think there's a scientist in the world that understands DNA and molecular structure and all of that. How could they possibly deny the existence of God? Because it all points straight to the Creator. Mm-hmm. You're a home builder, Diego. You have all these creative ideas. I've teased you almost every time I see you. Man, you were the first guy I know that built arches out of brick in homes. I don't know how you did that, but I think you told me you went to Italy and learned how to do it.
Spain and Mexico.
Spain, yeah. Okay. And, but the bottom line is that just was one thing, and you probably have added an arsenal of more beautiful things. But that's a way of thinking. And when you build something, it's clear that didn't happen by accident.
Yeah.
How much more God, right?
Yeah.
We're going to take another break. I'm so blessed to have Diego and Genevieve Ruiz in studio and Mike and Renee Williams. We're talking about their fellowship together. They've had a kinship slash connect group together for about 35 years. They've lived life together. They've loved each other. They've loved each other through joy and tragedy. And we've talked a little bit about Angelo and him moving to heaven. And we're going to talk more about their other children and other things that they're looking forward to as we move forward. So we'll be back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. We're in studio with Diego and Genevieve Ruiz and Mike and Renee Williams. They've been part of a fellowship group. I'll call it a kinship group because that's what we started with a long time ago. They've been together over 30, maybe 35 years.
Almost 38.
38, okay.
Getting close to 40.
I don't remember that because I'm not that old. I'm just teasing. What's fun about this is, you know, I was running the singles ministry, and Steve and Denise, and I think you guys were all part of that at some point, and then everybody got married. I got married about a year, I think, or 2 years after you guys did, and what I'm amazed at, I'm frankly disappointed that I'm divorced after 26 years. You guys have, you don't have a couple that is in your group that has been divorced.
Thankfully, no.
That is so amazing.
That doesn't mean we haven't struggled.
38 years.
Yeah.
Okay, but I need to know about that. Tell me about that. Have there been other challenges that you could share, maybe not share names, but what are some things that you've done to support one another in your group?
Well, I think for us, one of our children, I won't name names, decided that drugs were more important than our home and our family. And this group were so there for us because when you have a child, when you're raising your children in a Christian home and you feel like you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, we pray together and we take them to church and we're involved in sports and we have dinner together every night. You don't expect someone to fall off the deep end. And then when they do, for me anyway, I felt judged. But they didn't judge me. I felt like the whole world was going to say, oh my gosh, how did you screw that up so bad as a Christian parent? You know, where did you go wrong? And but these guys have always come alongside and said, you know, this is just the way of it, you know, and we're here for you. And
you know, that was Jen important. Said something in our first segment about how she thought as a, maybe not just as a Christian, but as a person, as a mom, that you controlled something and you found out that God controls everything. And that's really the same thing with our kids. We think we're controlling something. God gives us this role to love our kids and provide for them and raise them and teach them, but ultimately it's their decision too. Is there life after something like that happening?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and just seeing the miracles along the way as the Lord, you know, reveals those things to you along life's paths, and as they happen, you know, it's always just truly knowing that it's God doing a miracle that he's doing in your lives. So I remember Renee and I had the experience, we were moved up to Washington State for a while. And when we had moved up there, we attended a small church that was up there. And in the middle of the service that we were attending, basically what they were talking about for the service was that God is going to turn it around. He's turning things around. Probably not developing this very well, but basically when we came out of that service after looking at one another and just knowing the Holy Spirit was really working in both of us, and that we were both just in tears during that service and part of the worship, we didn't know what God was doing, but we knew he's doing something. Sorry.
That's good.
We got out of that service and we're walking in the parking lot back to our car, and we get a call from Heidi.
Uh-huh.
And said along the lines of, you know, Matt wants to turn it around is what he was saying. And that was the whole message inside that service. You know, God wants you to look at each other and say he's going to turn it around. When we got out of that and we were walking to the car, you know, we got that call and said, God is, Matt wants to turn his life around. He wants to turn it around. And so it was a big message to us in that time. So,
yeah. kind of exciting to see miraculous things like that happen. Rui's family. So talk to us about how are your children doing now? And is this a daily discussion? Or is it, hey, Angelo's in heaven, we're going to see him when you know, we all go to heaven? Or, you know, is there joy about the conversation, or is it still really difficult?
I think it's both. Both of our children have processed it very, very differently. Natalia's very heart. She feels really deep, and it really hurts her to see us suffer and to see our family suffer. So she's the baby of the family, so she likes the joy and the laughter. And so I think we haven't had a ton of deep conversations with her because of that. I want to respect the fact that she feels really deeply, and I so we just are careful about how deep the conversations are, but definitely have both the hope of eternity and have definitely discussed the brokenheartedness that we're feeling now. Diego Leniel has been very present, more so than ever in his life. He kind of did his own thing for a long time, and when everything happened with his brother, he's just made himself really available for us. So we've had a lot of really deep conversations, and that first year, I needed him home all the time. He was living in Denver, Phoenix, and then Denver. And even into the second year, he said, anytime you need me, you just say it and I will be there. Mm-hmm. And we flew him home for Easter, Christmas, Groundhog's Day, everything you could think of, because I just needed him and he was very available. And I really appreciated that so much. So we have had really good, deep conversations, a lot of crying, but we do look to the future and hope for seeing him again. We really talk about that too.
So, and we do talk about just all the wonderful memories that Angelo gave us. And we look at videos and, you know, reminisce with, you know, photographs. And Diego Leniel will find an old video, or Natalia will find one, or Vincent will find one and just share it. We have a group text, family text, and it's just such a joy when we get unexpected things. Oh, I found this, and it was an old video that he was, you know, acting and doing, just being hilarious. And so, you know, those memories are just, we just cherish those, and they're so precious to us.
Again, we were talking before the show started today about climbing the pole at Young Life Camp and jumping across to the trapeze. I remember when all the kids did that, and they just had such a blast.
Yeah.
And, you know, Angelo was not scared about that at all. But like my son, Zach, he was like Angelo. But my older son, Jimmy, terrified, shaking, shivering, doing that. But he still did it because all the other kids did it.
Right.
So, I definitely can see that. I didn't know him as a man. And I want you to share some things. There's things that he left you, like some comments in a journal and some other things that you feel are encouraging, not only that you'll see him again, but also encouraging to your faith.
Yeah, one is that, and really this is about God's faithfulness. Angelo, as I had mentioned before, was very meticulous as a young boy. He had all his Legos color coordinated in clear totes, you know, and so that was his personality. And when the Lord took him and I flew the whole family out to Maui to escort his body back, he had left a journal that he didn't expect us to read. It was just his heartfelt crying out to the Lord and joys and pains and sufferings and struggles and triumphs. I mean, he poured his heart out to that. And One of the things that you had mentioned about the video that you had seen, it was a two-minute video that he shared to almost 4,000 people or his colleagues.
He actually shared this to his business colleagues.
Yes.
Which was
– that was
– this is not a comfortable Christian group that he was talking
to. No. He was bold, you know, and again, he was chosen because he was top of his class in at work, and he had 3 minutes to share to 4,000 colleagues. And he chose to share that about his how the Lord delivered him from pornography, and that he was on a mission. And as a matter of fact, one of his if you want to share that about.
Yeah, there's an entry in his journal that said, Lord, I want to be the Moses of my generation to help free people my age from the bonds and the slavery of pornography. Mm. It's in there. Mm-hmm. And I just never thought I would read something like that. But he just, that was a prayer in the journal asking the Lord to use him as a voice to help free others from such a horrible bondage. And
yeah.
Just and amazing. Another, yeah.
Another thing is that, again, just in through this tragedy, in trusting in the Lord showed up and he was there in the fire. And he showed us tangible ways that he was there with us, that this had to happen. It wasn't an accident, but he was going to walk with us and be there with us. And so there was like, I'd say in the period of that week or the few days, there was almost like 15 little miracles that is like undeniable. What did you shared?
Synchronicity?
Yeah. But one of them was when we got to retrieve his backpack and my daughter, Natalia, you know, screamed out, oh, my gosh, to the day. And we ran into to the room where we were going to spend the night there. And she had unzipped his backpack, pulled out this journal. And knowing Angelo, his character, that he was very meticulous and started within maybe one day late his journals and his calendars. This journal happened to start the first page, started on February 27th, 2020, which was exactly one year to the day of when the Lord took him. Mm. So that in itself was a miracle, the Lord showing us that this wasn't an accident, that he predestined this and he allowed him to somehow start the journal on that day so that we would, without a shadow of a doubt, know that this isn't from Angelo, that the Lord was speaking to him. So that in itself, the odds of that happening were out of this world. But what he started, what he wrote on that first page was even more. The first words that he wrote was, "This is not my home. I have a heavenly home and a crown in heaven waiting for me." And he wrote down Matthew 6:19-21 that says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." And he went on and he wrote that scripture. That was like from the Lord to us to bring us peace and get us through that next step. And every minute of the day, every hour, we needed that, and the Lord would show up and show us another little miracle. Coincidence, no coincidence. It was God. So it was just God's faithful. When we cried out to him, he showed up, and he just wrapped his loving arms around us. And like what Genevieve was saying, you know, we had a choice there of either being angry with God because of what happened or taking that eternal perspective and becoming better instead of bitter. In that situation and allowing the Lord to just love on us and our amazing, you know, kinship family.
Thank you guys for being so courageous to share this today. It really is amazing. Mike and Renee, when you're committing to people in a kinship, did you count the cost of that before you committed yourself to all these people in your group? Is it like being married?
Well, there's definitely accountability.
Right, definitely the accountability side of it. But I think more than that, Jim, I think it's just when that happens, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you so that you can minister to those that are in your purview for that, and just trusting that God was going to give us the wisdom as we sought him and asked him, Lord, what can we even share with these people? How I can't even understand the tragedy that they're feeling and going through. The emotions. I mean, we all felt it as well. The gut, you know, hit that we took on that. But, you know, just trusting and knowing that God is going to give us the wisdom in fellowship with one another and the words to encourage one another and share with one another and mostly pray and asking God for the, what that wisdom was.
When we come back after this break, we're going to talk a little bit about the group. It's been really nice to remember Angelo and talk about him. And really, the story is very courageous that you guys have had. It's so I think about him as a kid because I only knew him as a kid. And I think about those smiles. I think about him jumping from a telephone pole to a trapeze. Yeah, he's belayed in, but it's kind of like my son Zach was kind of emulating him, which made me nervous because Angelo had no reservations, right? No. Now, my older son was terrified, but he was still kind of doing it because, you know, your son and his younger brother were all doing stuff. So it's funny to just think about those days and to smile about them and think about how special they were. ABQ Connect today is all about small groups and the Roos family, the Williams family are in studio with us. The Andazolas, the Paulsons, the Burns, the Starks, the McKees have all been part of a kinship group, a connect group. They've dedicated each other to each other for, you know, over 35 years, 38 years, I think Renee said. And that's just an amazing thing. And I'm hoping that as you listen today, if you're going to church and you're by yourself, don't live life by yourself. Get involved with some other people. Say hello. Go try some different groups. I don't know exactly how it happens, but we'll talk about that when we come back from this break. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. This is the kind of show that I want to do. I don't want to say I enjoy because it's tough. I mean, this is a tough subject. We lose loved ones. There's people having financial struggles. There's, you know, drug abuse. There's just all kinds of things that affect all of us in real life, and that's true with all Christians. But when you live life together, Williams family, I want you to address this. What is living life together with other people look like? Like, Renee, I think women are better at this than men. Can you call Jen and whatever's going on, she's available to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or send a shoot her a text or whatever. Help me.
She has done that.
And she helps me.
And that's not a – I know you're laughing about it, but that's really not a light thing. I mean, because you have a busy life.
Yeah.
You're coordinating weddings and doing all that kind of stuff now. Are you still doing the hair artistry?
No, that's...
No more?
Yeah, it was
only Diego.
Are you cutting Diego's?
Just the problem hair.
Yeah. Just the problem.
I do unravel it.
It's too much of a problem. I don't do it anymore.
Kelly.
Oh, wow. You've never been able to get the hair under control, Diego. So I wonder about... I know the Lord put this group together. So you can't really advise. Yeah, there's three steps to having a small group. And it's probably the same way as, you know, directing people that want to be married or in that kind of relationship. God's really the one that has to put that together. But are you guys just socializing with together when you're together? What are you actually doing? What's the content?
Well, it's changed over the years. When we first started meeting, we talked about newly married stuff.
The so fight was, of the week.
So we talk about the fight of the week.
Literally.
Okay, I want to know about that.
Literally.
So you mean literally. Christians fight?
Oh.
No, and it was iron sharpens iron because we'd like, you know, at first it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they had that kind of argument.
So Diego, would you?
Did Mike say that to Renee? Really? You know, and okay. then the next week it was me. You know, so we would just take turns and we would literally just share that. Okay, well, what fight did you guys have this week and how did you resolve it? Well, that was the point is how did you resolve it? Not just share the...
Yeah, but then there were the we nevers. So we have one couple in our group that never fought.
Oh.
And we called them the We Nevers. And that was the Paulsons.
And Jim, I think there was more to it in the sense that the accountability that we had with one another, you know, that I could look to Diego and say, you know what? You challenged me last week that I shouldn't talk to my wife in that tone.
Along so you'd lines. Be that direct.
And he would, And so I knew I was going to have to come back and talk to Diego or Steve or Mark or somebody and say, you know what, guys, I did change how I was dealing with that. So there was that type of accountability that I think is important in a group.
Well, and then we moved on and started having children, and we would have our kinship grow. So then we did things like growing kids God's way together, and we did other parenting things. We did the shepherding a child's heart. And so over the years, kind of wherever we were at, we incorporated those things into our kinship. And we were a closed group, which is not necessarily a Calvary model, but we felt like it was the model that we needed for us. Mm. And so it worked. And now at our later stages in life, you know, we do other things. Right now we're doing a book together called The Empty Nesters. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
The joy.
Something like that.
The joy of
figuring out the
now,
empty
now
nest
are the something. Starks and the Burns who no longer live in Albuquerque, are they able to participate?
No. Yeah. They, well, when they're around.
When they come, when into, they town, come into town, they join,
oh, but you're not doing us. Like Zoom
oh,
or
no,
anything
no,
like
no.
that?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always wonder about those technologies because, you know, COVID kind of changed a lot of people's perspective. We have a lot of people watching church online, and I think that's great. But that's kind of for people that can't make it to church. And I worry that people think doing things on your phone, our kids, that's not really fellowship.
No.
You
mm-hmm.
need to be face-to-face with people, don't we?
You need the real deal. You do.
Yeah, and go ahead, Diego.
No, and we would take turns. The guys would, you know, we would each host every week. We would just pick a topic. And then we would go have questions and things like that. What Mike was saying the other day, just a little while ago, also is we would I would have lunch with him and Steve and some of the guys, and there was like four questions we would ask each other. It wasn't just to eat.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I remember meeting Mike and Steve separately, you know, at Lauterburger, Blake's Lauterburger, and these are the questions we would ask each other: Are you honoring and cherishing your wife? And then what would she say about that answer? Is there something that you haven't told me that you should be telling me? Mm-hmm. And then finalizing it, did you lie to me about anything?
Oh, wow.
Now, so we had to
hard accountability.
Okay, but what's interesting about that line of questioning is, did that actually break down people? Like at first, were they less than candid and then?
No, I think we started out very truthful, very vulnerable, because we knew the end goal. And it was just to keep ourselves accountable. We all wanted to be great husbands and fathers. And so it was just an accountability issue. Well, and I think that when you don't have that, you know, it's real easy to get in your head and keep yourself, like, you know, Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. And where there is no guidance, people fall. But in abundant counselors, there is safety. So we were trying to keep that accountability of getting wise counsel, sharpening each other, both the men as well as the
women.
The women, and so that's what it was all about. So we were always truthful with each other. And especially if a question like that is asked, are you lying to me? We had to look each other in the eye and be honest.
But I do have to admit there, I think by nature, we have a tendency to want to hide our things, you know, and we all experience that, you know, you see everybody's doing really well and, you know, in certain areas. And so you kind of hide your problems. For us, we've done it. And I think all of us have, but I think over time, just the accountability and the care that we had towards each other, a lot of that stuff broke down, and eventually we would bring up stuff. hard stuff. But it's by nature, it's easy to just hide your mistakes of your kids or the thing, something that they might be doing that isn't so right. But over time, those things just kind of make their way out, and eventually you talk about.
Well, something I just discovered during a break is that you guys are also hosting other Connect groups and helping build those. Tell us about that.
So in our home, my elderly parents came to live with us of recent. And so not my dad, recent. Well, not that recent. My wife will tell you for the last 9 years. Anyway, but the great thing about that, having them in our home, it's been a great experience, honestly. But my dad recently passed away. Mm-hmm. Another quick story, and I'll start in on the other Connect group that we're with, but Diego had showed up probably within an hour of my dad passing. You and Steve both showed up at the door and such great support. And so I really appreciate, you know, mm-hmm. those guys coming alongside. But getting back to the new Connect group, as my parents started living with us, my dad had passed away, and we wanted to encourage my mom to get more involved in fellowship. So long story short, we started the Connect group because we wanted her to be more involved with people because she wasn't coming to church. She has COPD. Yeah. She can't get to church.
We also wanted her to attend our church, so to speak, because she was convinced that we were involved with a cult. So we said, we're going to start this Connect group and we want you to be a part of it, but you're going to have to watch church with us. So we watch church from home. We have a good excuse because we have an elderly.
Well, no, I got to tell you, that's exactly, and I didn't mean to miscommunicate. I think that's exactly why most churches are now doing stuff online. That's the perfect scenario.
Exactly. And so she started watching church with us, and the first week she got up afterwards and kind of looked at us like, that was not what I expected. Second week she comes out and Skip finished, and she said, he's actually quite a good teacher. And we were like, yeah. And then pretty soon she's in her room every Wednesday night with her headphones on, Bible open.
Taking notes.
And she loves.
She doesn't miss anything with Skip. So we wanted to encourage her to get in the family, not just from online. So we started a Connect group there and opened up our home there in Placidus for folks to come in. And it grew to the point to where it got so big, we had to close it down. And now we've probably, I don't know, maybe about 20 people, something like that.
Yeah, they come and go. We now meet just 2 times a month. We were meeting every week, but
my mom's part of it. And it's just been a blessing to her to watch her grow and her walk with the Lord and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good thing.
Very much so.
Yeah. I really love that. Guys, we could easily have a conversation for another couple hours. Unfortunately, we're out of time. And I'm so grateful that Diego and Genevieve have been here and we've been able to honor on hello and your other children, Mike and Renee, your children have been great. So your families have been together living life. I'm going to have one more segment with somebody from your group. I'm going to have the Andazolas on. That'll be the second week in November, and they're going to talk about their dedicating their dating time before they got married to the Lord, and it's going to be very interesting. It's something that I don't think most people have ever heard, so I love doing these kind of things because they're real life. People are living it and dedicating themselves to honoring God and worshiping God through all of this. You guys have been amazing. Your courage is going to definitely bless a lot of people. So thanks for sharing that today. Thank you all for joining us.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.